waiting for the music, folks. That MP3 player is a little slow. Do 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 do. Well, I'm not Tennessee Ernie Ford. Well, come on. Oh, it'll play when it plays. Shalom Aleichem to all my white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm waiting on my very, very slow MP3 player to kick in with Onward Christian Soldiers. And it gets to be a pain after a while. I may just not fool with it because it's really not worth it. We left off in the end of chapter 13 of Genesis yesterday, and this is word for word, and this is show number 8, and we're going to start in on chapter 14 of Genesis, and probably the musical kick in. It's still got an hourglass sign on it. And this is all about a war that took place while Abram was over in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was living in the area by Sodom, if not living in the town itself. And there was a big war that was about to take place with a bunch of kings in the area. And I'm just going to X out that music. I'm not going to fool with it. It's too much trouble. So let's start in on chapter 14 on verse 1. This will give you the history of what's now it's come up. It'll play in a minute. This thing takes 3 or 4 minutes to kick in, and it's here we go.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Okay, there we go. And I'll just leave that up, and then I'll hit play again when it's time, because it takes too long to boot up. I'll start with verse 1 of chapter 14, and we'll take it from there. And it was in the days of Amraphel, number 569, king of Shinar. I told you about the land of Shinar and all the bitumen pits and all that stuff. Well, he was that king. And Arioch, number 746, king of Elasar, number 495. And here's the big bad boy, Kedar Laomer, number 3540, king of Elam, spelled with an E-Y, Elam, 5687. And Tidal, that looks like tidal, like a tidal wave, but it's not. It's Tidal, Number 8413, King of Goim, 1471. Now they've got the thing misnumbered, and they have King of Goyim. No, Goim here was a separate people. It's not King of Nations. They translated it wrong. And if you really research it and get into the good lexicons, the Goim, which they have as 1471, is not Goyim. Doesn't mean nations. It means a Goim. It's a separate group of people. So that was one group of kings right there. And verse 2, they made war with Bera, B-E-R-A, number 1298, king of Sidon. That's Sodom in your King James. Number 5467. And Birasha, number 1306, king of Amorah. That's what they call Gomorrah in the King James. Number 6017. Shinaab, 8134, king of Adamah, number 126. And Shem Eber. 8038, king of Seboim, number 6636, and the king of Bela, number 1106, which is Sor, T-S-O-A-R, number 6820. They spell it with a Z in the King James, Zor. That's not how it's Sor. And all these were joined together as one word, 2266, in the valley of Siddim, number 7708, which is the Sea of Salt, 4417. All right. That's the Dead Sea, folks. The Sea of Salt is the Dead Sea, the very high salt content. You can just like go out in it and you will float because your body becomes buoyant. And it's a poisonous salt. It's not a good salt. 12 years they had served Kedorlaomer. That's the guy from the first verse. Kedorlaomer, in the 13th year they rebelled, number 4775. Now, verse 5, in the 14th year came Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote, number 5221, Wayaku. And that usually means to smite to death. That has the implication of killing someone, just smiting them. Like when Moses smote the Egyptian, he killed him. And they smote the Rephaim, 7947, the spiritually dead ones. Those were some of the giants. And Ashtaroth-Karnaim, number 6255. And the Zuzim, Z-U-Z-I-Y-M, more giants, and Ham, H-A-M, 1990. That's not Ham, son of Noach. That's a different spelling and pronunciation. And the Emim, number 368, more giants, in Shaweh Kiriathim. Kiriathayim, pardon me, 7741. Verse 6, and the Hori, 2752, those are the Horites in your King James. And the hill country, number 2042, of Seir, 8165. Okay. That the Horites were in the area that Esau, Edom, would settle in. eventually. They all coexisted, and he married into the Hittites, which were also there, and the Horites, and they all were mingled into a big bunch of ites. And today they're known as the Perizzites. I know, I'm so bad. Unto Il Paran, number 364, which is by the wilderness. Verse 7, they returned and came to Ein Mishpat, number 5880, which is Kadesh, 6946, and smote all the fields of the Amaleki, those are the Amalekites, and also the Emori, those are the Amorites, 5, 6, 7, which dwelled in Katzon Tamar, 2, 6, 8, 8. Verse 8, and went forth the king of Sidom, and the king of Amorah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Bela, which is Sor, and this is one word in Hebrew, assembled in battle array, 6186, against them in battle in the valley of Siddim, 7708, that's by the Dead Sea. Verse 9, with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. The valley of Siddim was full of pits, one word, full of pits. 875 and 875 combined. They doubled the words there for an emphatic usage. Full of pits. Of bitumen, 2564. That's pitch, that's asphalt. And when fled the kings of Sidom and Amorah, some fell in, number 5307 there. They fell in the tar pits, like the La Brea tar pit out there in California. And the survivors, 7604, fled to the hill country. Verse 11, they took all the property of Sidom and Amorah and all their food, number 400, and walked away. And here's where it starts, verse 12, and they took Lot and his property, son of the brother of Abram, his nephew, and walked away, for he dwelled in Sidom. Verse 13, and came an escapee, number 6412, and told Abram the Ibri, that means Hebrew, 5680, for he dwelled at the terebinths of Mamre, the Amori, kinsman of Eshcol, 812, and kinsman of Aner, number 6063. These were lords, 1167, allied, 1285, that's to make a covenant or an alliance with Abram. They were getting along in those days. Verse 14, when heard Abram that had been taken captive, that's one word, been taken captive, number 7617, his kinsman, he led forth, 7324, his trained men, one word, 2593, born in his household, these were children of his servants, 318, and pursued, 7291, them unto Dan, 1835. That's before the tribe of Dan was in existence. That's the name of the place. He divided to 505. In other words, he split his troops into two attacking forces. He divided against them by night, just what Gideon did later on. He split his people all over, and they uncovered the lanterns and just scared the fire out of all the enemy. He and his servants, and smote them, and pursued them unto Kobah, 2327, which is north, 8040, Saphon, of Damascus, 1834. That is Damascus in your King James. That's in what is now Syria. He returned with all the property, and also Lot, his kinsman, and his property he also returned, and also the women and the people, because they took everybody captive. They were going to make slaves out of them and use the women. Okay. 17. Went forth the king of Sidon to meet him after he returned from smiting Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaweh, number 7740, which is the valley of the king. Verse 18, pay attention to this one. Melchizedek, 4442, not Melchizedek, Melchizedek, it means king of righteousness, king of Shalem, 8004, that's Jerusalem, early name for Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine. He was a priest, 3548, of El Elyon, the Most High God. Okay, El Elyon, that's another title for Yahweh. And it is said that Melchizedek, the king of Shalem, was Shem. He was an old man by then, but they say that he was Shem, the forefather of all the Shemites. Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of El Elyon, possessor, number 7069, possessor of the sky and the land. And blessed be El Elyon, who has delivered, number 4042, your adversaries, 6862, into your hand, and gave him, and I have in italics here because it's implied, not actually written, and gave him Abram a tenth, 4643, of all, and then the property is implied, so I have the property in italics. Verse 21, said the king of Sidon to Abram, give me the people and the property take for yourself. He wanted the people to do their little Sidonite things with. And here's Abram's response. Said Abram to the king of Sidon, I have raised, 7311, my hand to Yahweh, El Elyon, possessor of the sky and the land, that not a thread, 2339, unto a strap, 8288, of a sandal, 5275, will I take from all that is yours, lest you say, I have made rich, one word, made rich, 6238, Abram. Except that which have eaten the young men is one word, 5288, Naar. Because they had to eat something while they were fighting. And the portion, 2506, of the men that went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now that's the end of chapter 14. These Rephaim and the Anakims and the Emim and Zuzim and all those people, they are all descendants of the Nephilim. And Anak was a giant, and that he is the king of the Anakims. So they survived the flood, folks. I mean, I hate to burst churchianity's bubble, but there were these giants after the flood. They were not all killed. Nor were all these other people killed, because there was a great population out there in all these cities. They weren't destroyed. So quit teaching for doctrines the opinions of men, because the Bible tells the truth and it doesn't lie. And you've been making stuff up all these years and just handing out this fairy tale to your church members. Oh, I had to get a drink of that coffee while it's still hot. I get started and then I just lose it. And my coffee's ice cold at the end. They wanted the people, because of the actions of the Sodomites and the people in Amora. They were a bunch of queers, and they wanted these people. They were sexual perverts. They were evil people. They wanted to use these people. And Abraham says no, because these were the people that had belonged to Lot, and he's not going to turn over Israelites. Well, they weren't Israelites at that time. He's not going to turn over Lot's people that were his servants and such. And even the people of Sodom that they carted off, he's not going to do anything. That which was the king of Sodom's, all his people, they went back to Sodom. But all of Lot's people went back with Lot. They were not to become the property of the king of Sodom. So he just basically told him no. And it was a very nasty time, very perverted, nasty time then, and it's getting that way again. We've got all these perverts again. Well, chapter 15 is Yahweh. It's another short chapter. Yahweh giving a vision to Abram, and he's gonna tell him what's coming in the future. And this is a rather magnificent chapter. He tells him of the coming captivity in Egypt in the time of Moshe, way, 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 way ahead, generations ahead of the birth. this just shows Yahweh's in charge. Okay, he's got it covered. Verse 15, chapter 1. Oh boy, that's dyslexia strikes again. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things came the word of Yahweh to Abram in a vision, number 4236, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am your shield," number 4043, "and your exceedingly great reward." Exceedingly is 3966, great is 7235, and reward is 7939. Verse 2. And said Abram, "Lord Yahweh," that's Adonai Yahweh. Instead of substituting Yahweh with Adonai, Adonai precedes the word Yahweh. But in many passages, they have substituted Adonai for the name of Yahweh. In my scripture study, my publication, I have restored the name of Yahweh throughout. Removed Adonai, and I have made notations of that. And said Abram, "Lord Yahweh, what will you give me as I walk childless?" 6185. "And the son of acquisition," 4943, acquisition, in other words, the acquisition of my household, is this Damasek, 1834, Eliezer, 461. Well, son of acquisition is the steward in charge of acquiring things for the household. And the Damasek means he was from Damascus. He was a Damascan. And his name was Eliezer. But they were all related in those days. And said Abram, verse 3, "Behold to me, you have not given offspring," 2233. "And behold, one born of my household is my heir," 3423. He was going to have to leave everything to his steward. Verse 4, "And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but that which comes forth from your loins," 4578, "shall be your heir." Verse 5. "And he brought him outside and said, look now at the sky and count," 5608, "the stars," 3556. "If you are able," 3201, "to number," 5608, "them." "Look now at the sky and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall be your offspring." That would be us. Verse 6, "And believed he Yahweh." And here's a key verse that is repeated in the New Testament. "And believed he Yahweh, and he reckoned," 2803, "it to him for righteousness." 6666. Wehemim ba Yahweh, wayakasheba lo sedaka. Wow. That verse plays great importance throughout Scripture. Verse 7. "And he said to him, I, Yahweh," that brought you forth from Ur of the Kashdim. Those are the Chaldeans or the Babylonians or whatever. From Kesed, one of the sons. And they called him the Kashdim. Give you this land to inherit. In other words, all of that land that he was in. All the land that he showed him. And he said, Lord Yahweh, how will I know that I will inherit it? Verse 9. And he said to him, take for me a heifer, 5, 6, 9, 7, of 3, 8, 0, 2, 7, and in italics is years, because it's implied by the 3. And a she-goat, 5, 7, 9, 5, of 3 years, and a turtle dove, 8, 4, 4, 9, and a young pigeon, one word, 1469. Verse 10. And he took all these and separated, in other words, cut them in pieces, in two pieces, 1334, and separated them in the middle, 8, 4, 3, 2, he just divided them in half, and placed each piece, 1335, from the same root as separated, meeting 7125, another 7453. But the birds, 6833, he did not separate. 11. When the birds of prey, one word, birds of prey, 5861, came down upon the carcasses, number 6297, one word, drove them away, 5380, Abram. Verse 12. When the sun was going down, this is one word, a trance-like sleep, number 8639, fell upon Abram, and a dread, 367, of great darkness, 2825, fell upon him. And he, with a capital H, speaking of Yahweh, and he said to Abram, know as a certainty, and they use 3045 back to back here as an emphatic, that sojourners, 1616, ger, shall be Yehyeh, your offspring, Zaraaka, 2233, this seed line, in a land not theirs, and shall serve them, and be afflicted, 6031, by them 400 years. This is speaking of Mitzrayim and all the way up until the time of Moshe, after the Hyksos had conquered Mitzrayim, and they didn't care about Yosef, because they weren't Mitzrayim. They were a conquering bunch of Hittites, actually. So they afflicted the Israelites, because there's a natural enemy there. Verse 14, and also the nation that they serve, speaking of the nation conquered by the Hyksos, I will, this is one word, execute judgment upon, number 1777. That's Don. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Don, execute judgment upon. And the name of Don one of the sons of Israel means judge. You will judge your people. So they used that word as a name. I will execute judgment upon, and afterwards they, speaking of Israel, shall come away with great possessions. They plundered the Egyptians, and they gave them all kinds of gold and stuff just to get them out of the air. Take this and go. You're killing us. Okay, well, there you go. And you shall go to your forefathers in peace. In other words, you will die in peace. And you shall be buried, number 6912, in a good old age. In other words, you're going to live a while. 16. But in the fourth generation, 1755, door, they shall return here, because not whole is the evil, 5771, iniquity, of the Emori, the Amorites, 567, here. So there is a prophetic peace. The evil of the Amorites is not fulfilled. Verse 17, this is a vision. And it was, when the sun went down, and it was thick blackness, one word, 5939. Behold, a smoking, 6227, fire pot, one word, 8574, and a burning, 784, lamp, 3940, that passed between those pieces, 1506. That was a ritual that was done in those days. And Yahweh completed that ritual in the eyes of Abram. Verse 18, this is about the covenant of the promise. In that same day, made 3772, literally to cut something. In that same day, made Yahweh a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring, 2233, I give this land from the river of Mitzrayim unto the great river, the river Parath. That's the Euphrates, 6578. The Cainy, that's the seed of Cain, 7017. They were still as a people then. The Kenizzi, 7074, different people. And the Kadmoni, 6935. And the Hitti, the Hittites, 2850. And the Perizzi, the Perizzites, 6522. And the Rephaim, the giants, 7497, the spiritually dead ones. And the Emori, 567, the Amorites. And the Canaani, 3669. The Canaanites, and the Girgashi, 1622, the Girgashites, and the Yabusi, 2983. They were dwellers in Jerusalem, and it was originally called Yebus, because they were the dwellers there. He gives them as a possession to do with as they please. He's giving him the land and the people in it. And later on, they would have a commission to destroy these people because they were very, very wicked. In verse 5, you can see that in Romans 4:18 and Hebrews 11:12. Verse 1 is in the book of Yashar. As far as the vision, as the 4:2-3:6 is as in the ecstatic state. He was in a religious state in a vision. And that is the book of Yashar, or Jasher, the book of the upright, chapter 16, verse 20. And verse 6, you can reference 1 Maccabees 2:52. That's 1 Maccabees 2:52. Romans 4:3. It's Romans 4:3. Galatians 3:6. That's Galatians 3:6. And James 2:23 for verse 6. James 2:23. Verse 12. Reference Job 4:13 and 14. That's Job 4:13 and 14. Verse 13. You can reference Exodus 1:1 through 14. Exodus 1:1 through 14. Acts chapter 7:6, verse 14. You can reference Exodus 12:40 and 41. That's Exodus 12:40 and 41, and Acts 7:7, and verse 18. You can reference Acts 7:5. That's Acts 7:5 for verse 18. And you can look it up on my online stuff if you didn't get all that written down. Let's get in while we have a few minutes. This is a very short chapter. Chapter 16, Sarai, wife of Abram, did not bear him children. And she had a maidservant, 8198, a Mitzrith, that means a female Egyptian, and her name was Hagar, 1904. And said Sarai to Abram, "Behold now, I am restrained, 61:13, by Yahweh from bearing. Go in now unto my maidservant," because she was basically property. "It may be," that's one word, "it may be," 194, "that I may build," 1129, "a family from her." And listened Abram to the voice of Sarai, and took Sarai, wife of Abram, Hagar the Mitzrith, her maidservant, after 10 years of dwelling with Abram in the land of Canaan, she was barren the whole time, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a concubine. That's 802. That is a woman that will just bear children, not a wife. She is a concubine. She's just there. She was property of Sarai as a permanent servant. And she gave her, "Here, go in to my maidservant." Verse 4. "He went in to Hagar, and she conceived," 2029. "And when she saw that she had conceived, she had contempt," 7:043, "for her mistress," 14:04, "in her eyes," 5:869. In other words, "Well, see, I can get pregnant by him, but you can't." that didn't go over well, because it's going to come to pass that she's going to get kicked out. And verse 5, and said Sarai to Abram, I have been wronged. 2555. To you I gave my maidservant as a concubine. Different word. 2436. And she saw that she conceived and has contempt for me in her eyes. Judge 8199. Judge Yahweh between you and me. Verse 6. Said Abram to Sarai, behold, your maidservant is in your hand. Do what is good in your eyes. And when humbled, 6031, and when humbled her Sarai, she fled, 1272, from before her. In other words, Sarai came down on her pretty hard. You're a servant. You're property. You don't act like that towards your mistress. Verse 7. Found, 4672, found her a messenger, not angel, messenger, 4397. Angel is a church term. They're embellishing again. Found her a messenger of Yahweh by a spring, 5869. Now, 5869 literally means I. It's Ain, E-Y-N, 5869, but by an eye of water? Well, no, it's a spring that is used as an idiomatic usage for a spring of water. Found her a messenger of Yahweh by a spring of water in the wilderness, by a spring on the way, in other words, the road or pathway, the way that you go a trail, that's 1870, on the way to Shur, S-H-U-R, 7793. And said he, Yahweh speaks through his messenger with the voice of Yahweh, Hagar, maidservant of Sarai, from where came you and to where do you walk? And she said, from the presence of Sarai, my mistress, I flee. And said to her the messenger of Yahweh, I will multiply, 7235, your offspring, 2233, and they will not be numbered, 5608, for multitude, 7230. These will be the forthcoming Ishmaelites. Said to her the messenger of Yahweh, behold, you are with child, 2030, and will bear a son, and will call his name Ishmael, 3458, because has listened, 8085, Yahweh to your affliction, 6040. Okay. Ishmael, Shmael, is to hear. Verse 12, pardon me. And he shall be a wild ass, or a wild donkey, if ass is offensive, but that's the word. 6501, of an Adam, he's an Adam, a 120. Because the mystery had not mixed race at that time. She was an Adamic female, but not of the chosen seed line by Yahweh. And his hand will be against all, and the hand of all against him. And in the presence of all his kinsmen, he shall dwell. 7931. They're all going to have a separate tribe and be out in the desert, and they'll be sons of the desert, sons of the east. So they're going to have their own big group, and they do. And they're not our friends. 13, they're not all Adamites now. They're all mixed breed out there. They call them Arabs, Ereb, the dusky people, or mixed multitude. Okay. Verse 13, and she called the name of Yahweh that spoke to her, you are El Roi, the God that sees. 72:10 is to see, and El is a short for Elohim. It's 4:10. It's the base. For she said, have I also here, 1988, looked, 7200, after him that sees me, 7200, and him is capitalized, speaking of Yahweh. So she called him the God that sees. Another title. Verse 14. Where were we? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, the spring of water. Yeah. Upon this was called the well, 875, different than the Ain, the spring. This is a well. Be'er Lachai Roi, that's one word. Behold, between Kadesh, 6946, that's the east, the Kadesh, and between Bared, 1260. Verse 15, bore Hagar to Abram a son, and called Abram the name of his son Ishmael, 3458. Verse 16, Abram was 86 years of age when bore Hagar Ishmael to Abram. Now, this would become a great people, the Ishmaelites. But they are not of the particular seed line that Yahweh wants. Oh, by the way, 883, Be'er Lachai Roi means well of a living one that sees. And El Roi means God of seeing. So Yahweh saw her plight and helped her out. There's another foundation for the history that has come to pass. And all of this leads up to modern times. And we will see this as we go through the rest of the books of Scripture. Genesis is a long book. There's 50 chapters. And it's like it's needed because it's a foundational book. You can't have a full story unless you started out with the foundational passages that let you know the characters that are playing in the story, in the book. And the storyline has to have a foundation. Well, Genesis is the foundation for all the rest. All the way up in through the New Testament, all begins in this scroll of Moshe, Bereshit. A lot of the laws are here, the law of creation, of don't mix seed lines. And you can see from my teachings what I'm giving you, why the churches don't dwell on the Old Testament very much. Because the Old Testament debunks completely what they are teaching their congregations. They gloss over it. Oh yeah, 7 days he created the world. No, seven ages. He created the sky and the land. Recreated, actually, because it had been before, but it was a mess after the war in heaven. And when the fallen ones were cast down, they started messing with everything, which they're still doing today, and perverting Yahweh's creation. So then he did the deluge and wiped out a bunch of them, but he didn't get them all. We were to do that. We were to finish the job. He has called his people, Israel, to finish. That's a commission given to us. We didn't follow the commission. We didn't complete it. We didn't do the job. So now we got thorns in our side and pricks in our eyes. But he's going to come back as Yeshua Messiah, and he's going to finish the job. We have to hang on and be faithful until then. And I say to you, Israel, repent, be baptized in the name of Yahweh and Yeshua and the Ruach Kadosh, the Holy Spirit. Change your life around to follow the scriptures. Don't try to change the scriptures to follow your lifestyle. Come out from them and be ye separate. And things will be well for you. He will bless you. And you will survive what is coming, which is going to be quite ugly, I'm afraid. So, all he wants is obedience. All he wants is for you to straighten up and do it his way. And you'll find it works so much better. So much, much better. And tomorrow we're going to start in on chapter 17. And more covenants. And I'm just about out of time. So I will wish you all Yahweh's blessing. And Shalom Aleichem to all
Christian
of you.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.